Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. This podcast is a series of conversations centered around understanding the values, beliefs, and intentions behind leaving a legacy. You will hear from successful business owners just like yourself who want to leave an impact for generations to come. Let's get started. Welcome to the Business Legacy Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dio. I have a very special guest, Eddie P. Edward Pinella, founder of Light Ray Solutions. And welcome, Eddie.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I'm absolutely grateful to be here and I'm excited to join you and your community.
Eddie, why don't you let the audience know kind of your origin story and how you came to be your own entrepreneur? Just a little bit of summary of where how you became who you are today.
Oh, that's definitely a story there, right? So, you know, first in my family to graduate from college, you know, to Cal State Fullerton, majoring in business finance, right? And, you know, at that time, I was working for New Vision Federal Credit Union, which serves the Boeing employees. You know, I started as a bank teller in college, moved up after graduation. I had an accounting internship there. Then I left for a startup, which did technology, and they ended up, you know, startups are risky. They went out of business. So I went back to the credit union. At that time, I was earning my MBA, which I received from Arizona State University. Upon graduation, I received a new position where I was working for a vendor where we created the business management software and analytics for auto corporations at the corporate level, not at the dealership level. So part of my role there was, you know, meeting with the corporate executives. Our systems received the financial statements from all of the dealerships in the nation. I would review financial statements, probably about 800 a month of dealerships. I built custom reports, which was very data intensive, right? Because the systems would accept all these data feeds into the system, and then I would map them into different reports. So forecasting, break even, cost reports, dealership analysis, you know. And then after that, I ended up working at a position as a senior IT analyst for a construction company. It was a dealership, so they sold construction equipment, agricultural equipment. And then I transitioned into Light Ray Solutions, where I'm founder. We are located in Orange County, California. We offer web design services, digital marketing, lead automation, CRM automation. And yeah, I just absolutely love what we're doing. I built a team and we're servicing several small and mid-sized businesses.
Now, tell me a little bit about that, where you made the decision to start Light Ray. What made you feel like you were comfortable, that you were confident enough to do that?
That's a heck of a question. And out of all honesty, I feel like I hit a moment in my life where I was being tested. So the truth is, and I'm going to share on this podcast exclusively, that I was actually at a hospital and I had lost my position while I was at the hospital.
Oh, man.
So the way it worked, and you know, it was very difficult. Absolutely difficult, because you would think that you would have, you know, medical protections by law, but the way the company was so spread out that within the geographic area, there were 7 employees. So I did not have the protections to protect my job when I was receiving medical treatment. And when I was there, you know, I'm great now. I'm healthy now, I think, by the grace of, you know, the universe. That showed to me, that was probably, you know, the icing on the cake, that I had a different view of what leadership is. And in my opinion, a leadership role, especially as, you know, running a company, employees should come first. You know, I would be absolutely ecstatic if one of my employees was able to get treatment for a health condition and to, you know, get better. The last thing that an employee should have to worry about is losing their job while they're receiving some type of medical treatment, right? So I came to a crossroads. Should I just apply for, you know, another position at a company, which with my experience and background would not have been that difficult, right? I mean, I have recruiters in my LinkedIn inbox all day. Or do I want to start a company where I can employ individuals, give them the work environment that I always wanted, and at the same time help small businesses, right? And we're talking about a time when COVID hit, which was difficult for small businesses already. So I figured, why not be a technology company, which I grew up with technology, and help small businesses who are probably struggling with technology, all while creating jobs. In my opinion, it's better to create a job than to find it. So that was a great question, Paul. Thank you for asking that one.
Given that situation with your clients, like, was there a specific industry or specific problem that you were solving with your first initial clients, or was it spread out? Was it just three different scenarios? What was that problem that you were solving when you started?
So, I mean, the problem I was trying to solve is small businesses do not really have a social identity. And I feel like most small businesses either struggle with time to do it themselves. There's a lot of do-it-yourself solutions for websites like Wix and Shopify, or they're just not very familiar with how it works, right? So the digital marketing ecosystem is complex, right? So we have a website, we have Google advertisements, we have social media accounts and branding. And, you know, we hear lead generation, you know, there's cold calling, and there's so many ways to scale a business. And a cohesive plan I found was missing for most of my clients. So what we try to do is we built pretty much a four-step plan. We found early on that running Google advertisements and sending them to a website that was not up to date, that was slow and not built to convert, they were essentially wasting their advertising budget. So we built a four-step plan to where we start with their website no matter what. We get their website up to speed. We optimize it with call to actions to convert. And when the website is ready, then we open the social media accounts. Then we're able to put the social media link in the social media accounts, and we do the branding. So graphic design, we make sure that the banners are matched on all of the social media accounts. The colors and logos match the website, right? Because we're talking about a cohesive brand here. After that, then we start running step three, right? Because step two would be the social media. Step three would be running Google advertisements and other lead generation activities like email marketing. Once step three is up and running, then we do step four, which is the automation. So we can automate all of the new leads into, let's say, like a Google spreadsheet daily, or we can automate it into a CRM if a business is large enough and they do have a customer relationship manager.
What do you enjoy the most about the process?
It's odd. You know, in business, it's very analytical, very problem solving. What I love about branding is the creativity. So when we design a website, every website is different, and every website should be different based on specific business and product and their consumer market. So, you know, when we analyze a product, when we discuss the vision of the specific small business owner or mid-sized business owner, they all have a different vision. And I find that beautiful, because that means that the creativity and the process and the target markets and how the business is going to scale is also going to be different. So that's probably what I enjoy most. And I was very surprised to find that I am a creative person. I just never had the opportunity to be creative in my previous roles.
Is there any stories or case studies or things that you'd like to share with our audience?
Absolutely. Most individuals have never heard of Nuvo Olive Oil. They're out of Long Beach, and they're fairly new. They've been open for a couple of years. They're actually award-winning, Nuvo, N-U-V-O. They win olive oil awards in New York, Los Angeles, and we're talking gold and silver medals. When they hired us, we performed a search engine optimization, SEO, and we tripled their organic visitor count to the website. We just 3X'd them. So they tripled and increased their sales. It's amazing, their story as well. They grow their own olives. So they have their own farm. They grow their own olives, and they hire an olive oil maker who does the process old school. And I think, you know, just if it works, don't change it. So I think they have a competitive advantage, number one, by having their own olives and controlling how they grow their olives. And number two, they partnered with an amazing olive oil maker. So it was absolutely fantastic, you know, working with them, rebuilding their website. We optimized their website. their website was on Shopify, and we optimized the speed of their website, which, you know, believe it or not, people swipe away from slow websites. I do it all day long. It's just second nature. And Walmart even found that if you increase the speed by even half a second, your sales increase.
Mm-hmm. Now, given kind of your experience, both in the corporate world and with running your business, what would you say is your best business decision you've made?
The best business decision I ever made, well, part of corporate is learning how to be coachable. When I graduated, you know, from high school, I was very stubborn. When I graduated from college, I was probably even more stubborn because I had a stubborn personality and I thought I knew everything, right? And I learned at a corporate level how to be very coachable. There's several ways to create a report. And, you know, I had quite a few mentors, luckily, in the corporate environment who taught me to make nonstop adjustments to continue to grow. And I carry that over into what I'm doing now, you know, and one of the best decisions I ever made was downsizing my product line. So we used to create mobile applications for Android and iOS, and our product line was just too spread out. So we downsized our product line. So now we stick to the 4-step plan, you know, web design, social media branding and marketing, lead generation and automation. Those are the 4 steps. And, you know, we also upgraded our technology package. So we used to use Elementor, which is, you know, a famous page builder, but Google is putting emphasis on website speed in the rankings. And we found that when we create the websites more vanilla with vanilla tools out of WordPress, without adding third-party page builders, the website speeds are dramatically increased. And that just natively helps build the rankings with Google. So we're talking about, you know, ranking on page 1 instead of page 2, simply based on how the website is built. We're not even talking about keywords yet. We're not even talking about backlinks. We're talking about just the structure of the website. So, you know, I hire developers who are real strong developers who can create a website natively in WordPress. So that was probably the biggest game changer for us.
Now, in contrast, what would you say is the worst decision you've made so far, business-wise?
Oh, man, the worst decision I made, that's an easy one. At a corporate, I built Lightray Solutions to mimic what I learned in corporate. What I learned in corporate was automation. What I learned in corporate was analytics, reports, data, you know, automating email calendar invites. And, you know, I had built the back end of Lightray Solutions so elegantly that I had not even started making sales yet. So I spent 3 months building pretty much the infrastructure of Lightray Solutions. When, as a web agency, I should have probably gathered or, you know, started marketing my actual company from the get-go, which is kind of funny. So I would say most founders or entrepreneurs, we are told to have a game plan, right? And when I coach my small businesses that I partner with, you know, a mission statement, you know, what is your goal? What's your target audience? And we're talking about business planning, right? And for some reason, I thought that I already had that, when in actuality, I had to pivot and start putting my time more to, you know, attracting customers instead of having these cool automations to where, you know, if I schedule a calendar invite, it automatically sends them an email that says, your meeting is at this time, yada, yada, yada. And, that was probably the hardest pill to swallow, if I had to be honest. You know, having an MBA, having all this corporate background, and when you start your business, not applying the fundamentals of business, right? And I think that's where coaching comes in, you know, or having an actual mentor. And today, I'm grateful to have a few mentors who, you know, just double check my ideas and double check my processes. Even if I know better, sometimes applying them to your own business is the most difficult part.
Now, given you have those mentors, what we've noticed in the show and a lot of the guests that we've interviewed is that they have a glaring self-awareness of who they are and what their strengths are. And on the opposite, they have somebody else who complements those strengths. Do you have that person, or do you have that system in place where it can help with some of those blind spots? Like, who is it, and what are some of the elements that you would say you're good at, and some of the elements that you're not really that great at?
That's a fantastic question. So, I mean, for his privacy, you know, I'm not going to say his last name, but his first name is Renee. He's built several businesses in the restaurant industry. He's scaled multi-million-dollar catering companies. And even though it's not exactly the same industry, I find that, you know, different strengths and different views are extremely helpful. One thing that he told me to get from the get-go is, he's like, are you calling? Are you cold calling? I mean, are you really doing these things that build a business? And my answer was no, right? But when it comes to him helping me find out what my core strengths are, my core values, you know, my core values, which are mine as a leader, as well as the company's core values, is initiative, integrity, and resiliency, right? Initiative is, you know, when I see an opportunity to improve even by 3%, am I jumping on the opportunity? Especially if the customer is even unaware, can I increase their website speed by 3%? Am I taking the initiative to do it, right? And the answer is yes. That's the type of business we are. You know, and integrity, are we completing all the tasks on time that the customer is expecting, especially when they're not looking, right? It's always easy to do the right thing when individuals are looking in, but behind closed doors, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? And that's where integrity comes from. And resiliency, I mean, just not quitting until the miracle happens, right? I mean, I'm an absolutely resilient person. When I was in the hospital and I lost my position, you know, I had two choices. Number one, am I going to throw in the towel and, you know, play victim to life? Or am I just going to fulfill my destiny and find out who I am and really buckle down, right, and start developing better habits, right? Because I would probably say that at that time, I had downhill habits and uphill aspirations. Mm. And, you know, my mentor, Renee, I mean, he's phenomenal. He definitely helped me restructure my habits, right? And now I could say I'm going the same directions as my aspirations, and that's up.
What's an example of a downhill habit versus an uphill habit?
I think that's different for each individual and each individual goal. For me specifically, I had to work on just picking up the phone. The phone was the heaviest thing in my life. I mean, it must have weighed 400 pounds before I started cold calling, or, you know, I would, you know, in this type of business, the relationships with your clients are probably the most important thing, right? We talk about businesses being customer centric. You know, your customer is the most important person. And that is true. Now, when I was looking at the way I communicated, I would rather send a text or an email simply because I had the bad habit of either being afraid to answer the phone, being afraid to make the call, or valuing my time in other places. Because if I could send a text or an email, I am saving time because I know I'm not going to have to answer questions. And I think most entrepreneurs are so quick to send an email or a text and get that communication over with, when picking up a phone call and making the experience personable is probably the most overlooked habit that small businesses are avoiding nowadays. And that was absolutely mine. You know, then we could go into not taking care of our health, our mental health, right? Not eating healthy. And these are all habits of an entrepreneur. We like to think that it comes down to simply, you know, okay, did I perform my tasks for the job? That's true. But if I'm an entrepreneur, it's a lifestyle, right? It's a lifestyle. And I have to make sure that my mind, body, and spirit is operating 100%. That way I can fulfill my tasks to the highest ability, you know, and I didn't really take care of my health for a period of time there. I didn't take care of, you know, responding promptly to customers. And this is outside of the business model. This is coming down to who I am and the habits that I portray, right? It's very easy for me to tell my employees, oh, make sure you respond quickly. But I wasn't walking the walk myself, right? Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, if I get an email or a phone call, I'm returning that because, I mean, if you ask any of my clients, they would probably say they like working with me. And that's exactly why I think I'm able to build and retain partnerships.
Yeah, you brought something up that's really, really fundamental where, as you mentioned, when you were in your corporate career, it was all about automation and efficiency. Where as a business owner, it sounds nice to automate, it sounds nice to be efficient, but you soon find out that there's some nuance, there's some little nugget of wisdom through doing something analog, through having those conversations, through having those phone calls, have tension build up, be able to understand and bob and weave and understand the nuances. So it's refreshing because we all want something automated. We all want to reduce friction and reduce pain in our lives and reduce tension. But oftentimes it's just, that's exactly what we need is we need that pain. We need that resistance. We need that ability to be resilient. So glad you shared that. That's super insightful.
Yeah. If I may, Paul, you know, just to add one more step on that, I actually found that my automation caused friction. It's interesting because, you know, I built a contact form, which would just be a little, you know, a web page with a questionnaire, and I would send it to my new clients. And then I would find that they didn't really understand how to upload a logo. They might not have even had a logo. So from a web designer standpoint, I was like, okay, I'll send them this quick questionnaire. They'll upload their logo. They'll fill in, you know, their information. And, you know, I would create a login portal and password. And I didn't realize that I'm the individual who is teaching them how to use this technology. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting them to already be able to use it. Right. So they would call me and say, how do I do this? You know, or what does this question mean? Or I don't have a logo yet. Right. And I found that in the customer onboarding experience, I had completely failed because I did not understand the type of client I was working with because every client is at a different point in, you know, technology literacy and the stage of their company. And I had made the assumption that this piece of automation was going to make it easier for both sides, where instead it actually caused friction with the customer onboarding process. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to point that out. Thank you for that.
That's helpful. Back to the theme of the show. First question is, when you think of legacy, what do you think of? And the second is, what type of legacy would you like to leave?
That's a great one. So when I think of legacy, you know, I think of Martin Luther King and Steve Jobs and Elon Musk and, you know, being the dreamer I am, I envision legacies being this great game changer for humanity, right? Or this drastic change, you know, thinking of Apple and Steve Jobs. And, you know, I think some of the best legacies now that I grow in, you know, in my own self, and I realize that not every business is that big. Some of the best change comes from, you know, sticking to your core values. And if I'm going to leave a legacy for anything, it's going to be that I'm an example of not only a boss, but a leader. A boss is a title. A leader lives by example and leads by example, right? And some of the best leaders are actually not bosses. They could be team members. They could be team members who support and motivate and live an example of what the core values for the company are. And luckily, as the founder, yes, I can have the title of a boss. But if you ask my employees, they're going to say that I'm a great example of leadership. Well, I hope so. I think I'm doing a great job at that. You know, but I really want to hopefully reinvent the role of boss. You know, bosses can be great leaders, but not all bosses are great leaders. And I've, you know, in my corporate background, I had a handful of bosses who, if their teams would probably do a survey on them, they would probably fall short in representing leadership, right? And I hope that the legacy I leave, mostly for my clients, for Lightray Solutions, and all roles in the future, is that when they work with me, they see leadership.
Edward, thank you so much. Where can people find more about Lightray Solutions and just get to know you and what you're all about?
I am on LinkedIn under Edward Pinella. Probably the easiest way to find us would be www.lightraysolutions.com. I am also on Instagram and Facebook, but lightraysolutions.com. If you would like to contact me, the contact form works great. I'm very responsive, and I look forward to answering any questions for the community if they have any.
Great. Well, Edward Pinella, Lightray Solutions, thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Legacy Podcast. Now, if you can do us a favor and leave a review, any type of stars on any platform that you use, it would be greatly appreciated. For more information about us, the other co-hosts, and the Legacy Podcast, go to businesslegacypodcast.com. That's businesslegacypodcast.com. Have a great day.